Well, a very good evening to you, and thanks for tuning in. Donal Barry here with you on Terrace Talk, the Monday evening after Kerry claimed yet another Munster senior football title, and congrats to Jack and all the lads. I think already now for championship proper, I suppose, and it's just, that's just around the corner as well. Well, we will talk football shortly, and hurling, of course, in the first hour. And this evening, we'll also chat a little bit about the All-Ireland Pool Championships, which will take place at the Glen Eagle, and all that in the first hour. And in the second hour, we change, it's going to be soccer, and we're going to chat boxing as well. We're going to, of course, catch up with those involved in the Kingston Cup and the Gaynor Cup. The whole office is falling apart here. Liam Broston, the bus arrived late, did it?
Just made it in the door, Donald.
Just made it in the door. very lucky. Pull up a chair there and hopefully you won't fall off it.
I'm fall off it.
Liam Broston, God, you run up all those steps yourself here, please. John Kennedy was here in good time. Obviously, all the North Kerry crowd are good timekeepers. Now, you can get in contact with us 066 712 3666, or text us there on 083 300 3300. But first, I suppose it's football. John Kennedy, Liam Broston join us to discuss the action over the weekend. I suppose, John, we better start with you, as Liam is still studying there. I suppose yesterday, we'll chat about yesterday. We won't spend much time talking about it, because I suppose in the end it was all far too easy. But Kerry gave a sharp, professional performance, job done, in good style, Munster Championship, bank it and off we go.
Yeah, it was a business like performance, Donald. That sharpness was there, that hunger was there. And I suppose, you know, I suppose when the news broke about the passing of Ellen Clifford on Saturday, there was a lot of mixed views in that, you know, would the lads play? How would they be if they did play? And, you know, I suppose, first of all, on my own behalf and behalf of supporters all over the country, I suppose just pass on our condolences to the lads and to Dermot and Shelley, like on a very sad passing of Ellen, great GA people. But the performance by the boys, I think Tadhg Morley said it last night, you know, when the boys arrived at the bus, it probably was, the other guys, when they saw that, it was a case of we up our game, and you could sense it. Even looking at him in the warm up, that sharpness before the game started, David got him in a circle, and you know there was a determination and a steely look in them, and what a performance the two boys gave, like, you know, I mean, the mental toughness to do that, and then the team responded, and like we destroyed Clare, really. Mm-hmm. I thought that Clare would put up better resistance, but the lack of training, I suppose, and the timing after the All-Ireland, coming back late. We've spoken about that a good few times here, but I suppose that block of training in Portugal, and what they've done since, certainly we're from being contenders now, we're up there again, we're in the frame now, and it's time to kick on. And a polished performance, I'd say, really. Mm-hmm. Some fantastic scores, created a lot of goal chances, got 5, and overall, look, there was never a doubt about it. Great victory, and a morale boosting victory going forward.
Mm-hmm. Liam, the goals, I mean, we often sat here and say we don't create goal chances, but yesterday we created them and put them away. I mean, it was nearly throwback to the team of the 80s, you know, at the ease they got the goals and the movement and the space off the ball, and everybody seemed to be playing for themselves and putting the ball into the right position. There was no kind of selfish play or no one person looking for it. That's what we're looking for in this Kerry team.
Exactly, and it looked like a performance. You know, I know Jack said it after the game, that they worked a lot in holidays. I won't say holidays, at the training camp. You know, and the sharpness and the goal. He said lack of goals during the league, mm-hmm. it kind of hurt them a small bit, and it did, and we spoke about it here. But yesterday you could see from the word go, and I want to reiterate what John said there and send our condolences to the Clifford and O'Shea family, and what a legacy this woman has left us here throughout Ireland, throughout the world. People are going to be looking at these two boys, you know, for the next hopefully 10 years, and it's just an awe. And yesterday was a fitting tribute to Ellen, I suppose, with the two boys, the way they played, and it just shows that you know what kind of a football family they are, number one. And at the end of the day, it was their mother. Football aside, you know, we all get one mum and dad, and it's tough on them, and the next few days will be tough on them. But like Jack said, you know, the team and the county and the country will get behind them, and hopefully you know, that this might put a bit of a spark on this Kerry team. And I think yesterday it did. You know, you could see, like John said, from the word go, from the national anthem, from the warm up, you could see there was a bit of urgency. I don't know, everyone wanted to do We've heard it down through the years of teams when a loss in the camp or a loss, teams step up. And I hope this year that, and I think the boys will say, look, let's try to do this for David and Paddy. And I think yesterday was the start of it. But definitely the goal side of it yesterday, I was very happy because being a forward and like John, it was something during the National League that we were kind of criticising a lot. But yesterday we looked a lot sharper. Tony Rastin was doing all the right things. We were given the right pass at the right time, that kind of a way. Whereas before, we had head down and taken that extra bit of a solo, but yesterday, running off the shoulder, you could see everything was right there. The only kind of thing that I'd be half worried about was when Clare ran at us, at times we were kind of in trouble, down through the middle.
They scored 15 points.
They scored 15 points, yeah.
It's a reasonable score.
At times, even in the first half there, where they kicked the ball into the goalkeeper's hands and kicked wide, we were marking space, and then we were forgetting about a fella that was gone inside us. We won't get away with that with better team playing against better teams. That's the only worrying aspect. But look, that's something to work on.
Yeah.
But at least
you're going to get that in a shootout game.
You
anyway.
Are. Yeah.
Kerry didn't sit back. They went full for. John usually got some odds in petty power for Dylan Casey to score a point on his debut and the very first point of the game.
Yeah. And it's something like it's great to see a guy like that coming in. Graham O'Sullivan did it last year. Came in and nailed down a place.
Yeah.
Dylan came in and did very well, and it just goes to show, Jack has always said it, the guys in training will get the nod, and he didn't look out of place. He played really well. He was up in attack. He did his defensive duties when he had to. Very impressive performance.
It's like Clare were talking about, this full forward line that they had.
Right.
Now Keelan Sexton only scored 2 points.
Right.
So we really shut them down.
But I think Jason Foley is turning out to be one of the great full backs in
fairness.
Yeah. He's good in the air. He has the pace, and he has the confidence now.
Yeah.
Just one stat, Donald, that I picked up today about the Cliffords. 23 possessions for Paddy, 16 for David, 3-2 from play, 4 points from freeze, that's 3-6, 1-3 from direct assist, and 5 points indirect assist. What an influence in the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Incredible.
On
the day that it was, of course.
On the day that it was.
Which was amazing. Come here, let's go back, see if we're talking about the fullback and the cornerback, and of course they're all delighted blowing St. Mary's and Wartle this evening that Dylan Casey got his debut, obviously Austin Stacks as well, but we'll have to go back home as well for mother and dad. Now, Shane Ryan and his kickouts and his saves, it's a crucial part of the game, Liam. Yesterday, he was well on top of his game from kickouts and
possession.
The first one, I think, landed straight down on top of Jack Barry, who went 8 feet high into the sky, and that set him up as well for the day. How important going forward will that position be?
Yeah, goalkeeping, and we've been saying it for years at how influential a goalkeeper is now at inter-county level, and yesterday we had 25 kickouts, we won 23.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, that is the stat you need.
Kickouts that are kicked out in such a way that they're giving you a 60-40 chance of winning or 70-30 chance of winning, gone are the days that it goes down the field and two men compete. So and he still has to find a pinpoint accurate pass
in between maybe two or three forwards that are kind of playing a zonal defence. So you could see, and his shot stopping yesterday,
two crucial saves.
Massive, yeah. No, so yeah, he showed why he's an all star yesterday, and he's going to be very important going forward for Kerry. And I think, we are blessed. We have two very good goalkeepers there, but Shane is really kind of heading it now on his own at the moment.
I suppose he's grown into the all-star mode as well. He's an all-star keeper. And
yeah,
all-star
and it probably gives him a lot of confidence as well. And I suppose that's one position where you need a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because when you do make a mistake, you need to be strong enough to brush it off and drive on.
Absolutely. Come here, we'll brush on. Next up is Mayo. We won't go into the whole lot of it. It's been confirmed for Killarney, 3 o'clock on the 20th. Exciting game, John. Is this the kind of game Kerry need now? A good test of the credentials? We've played Tip, we've played Clare. This is a huge step up.
This is Mayo, one of the teams that it's a huge game for both teams. I know that the top team are gone through, and the second and third team will be playing off, as we spoke about off the air, but this is a huge game for Kerry. I think the intensity and the pace of it, while it was up yesterday considerably from the league, I think, Liam, it'll be up again.
It's a stadium.
We'll have a huge crowd there. I'd say it'll be a sellout crowd. Even though it's a Saturday, and one of the big ones.
The only thing on that, Liam, and I suppose I'm not 100% confirmed on it, but I'm 96% that's a lot in South Kerry. I think this is going to be one of the paywall games behind GA Go, and we've seen the hurling fraternity give out and the whole lot. And of course, when Sky had these games, we were all up in arms, and God, how could Sky have them when we can't have them? GA Go has them now, and they're still inaccessible in a sense. Now, I know you have to pay for it and a whole lot. What are your views on that?
No, I wouldn't agree with it at all, Don. I think we're going down. I think the GAA has gone down. No, when Sky came in that time, there was open arms that this was the road they were going down, and the GAA said they weren't.
Yeah. That was a business decision
that time, because Sky had whatever a few games, but then you had other games on from RTÉ. But at the moment now, they seem to be picking the big games. They did it last weekend and putting it behind
us. Picking up the Sky games that are in the ether, obviously, because they don't have Sky. But as it turns out, they're turning out
to be the big games, with the hurling and the football. And it's going to be unfortunate that people won't be able to see this game the next unless they pay their, I think it's 17 euros or something like that, or 70 something euros for the year.
No, the service is quite good, because I do use it. I mean, if you do pay your 70 euros, you have it. But again, I suppose for some people it's the principle of it, I'd imagine, more than the 17 or the 15 euros.
There's a big thing now, Donal, about the GAA. Like, we're going to play 28 games to get rid of four teams.
That's right. Yeah.
They're paying, you know, what you have to pay to watch games. Are we going down a road now that we won't be able to return very shortly?
Yeah. You know? I think we've said it for quite some time, and it's not a criticism. The GAA are losing. They're actually gone away from the grassroots totally.
Yeah.
They're not worried about the older stock. Mm-hmm. They're not worried about this pay.
Not the day or yesterday, no.
No, it's not. And it's, look, you had one of the great hurling games on Saturday evening, Cork and Tipperary, you know, on GAA goes well. People are up in arms about it. The main games, Kerry and Mayo on Saturday, everyone around the country would like to see that game. All GAA people, it's going to be one of the great games. It's on GAA Go, you have to pay for it. It shouldn't be.
Like, I thought the GAA Go was always for the diaspora. Yeah. You know, that's in America and places where that, but now it seems to be, it's kind of like a station now that we're going to put these games on and you have to pay to watch them.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the GAA, it's a product at the end of the day, but I suppose from the point of view is that, are we amateur, Liam, or are we professional?
If
we're hauling in money on GAA Go, do you know, the Kerry Clarefields went out yesterday. I don't think there was a check at the end of the week for the entertainment that they provided. Come here, let's go back for a second. Brian McNamara, a guy that was mentioned loads of times a couple of weeks ago, the Clare midfielder there for the under-20s, the night that Clare nearly stumbled and beat Kerry. He jumped from straight under-20 into senior championship yesterday. That's a big jump for young fellas, is it?
It's, well, Donald, I suppose that's the way football has gone now, because back in our day, and I don't know, you'd hate going back in the day, like 3 or 4 years ago, like in 98 when we won the All Ireland, there was 4 or 5 of us in with the seniors. Now, there's such a change in the last 10 years, 15 years, that you have to spend 2 or 3 years now in a kind of a development before we can get into the seniors. But we saw Brian that night, and we said it on air that he was probably the one player out in the field that you could say that he was going, you could pick him out straight away and put him into
a
senior team.
He looked like,
and he proved it yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't look like a fish out of water either yesterday.
He won a couple of balls.
Good footballer, and he was. And I think, I suppose, we didn't give Clare enough credit that night. Mm-hmm. That was a good Clare side, and signs on. That they were a lot better than what we thought.
John, I suppose that leads us back to where we're going. This conversation, Clare, the under-20s, we beat Cork, Sligo. It was never going to be easy against Sligo. I mean, they're back-to-back Connacht winners, but Kerry was still being favoured by nearly everybody to progress. Football isn't like that, is it?
No, it's not like that. And first of all, I say, we've been there ourselves, Liam, myself. It's the most difficult age group of all, being honest.
What makes it so difficult?
It's the timing of it.
College.
You know, it's the college, Sigerson. It's guys are away, difficult to get them together. You know, and then...
Is it easier for other counties then to galvanise that, where for us it's more difficult?
Well, I suppose in that side of it, like the seniors, the end-all and be-all here in Kerry, whereas under 20 level and minor, it's a bonus if you win it. You know, it's not all our rigs. Whereas the likes of Sligo, they had a good team probably, and they said, look, we're going to throw everything behind these. And that's what the dim counties do. But I agree with John, it is a very hard age group. I was involved with college football for years myself, and it's hard because... Look, there's a guy sitting at home and he can't go out. His buddy's gone down out to a house party and stuff like that, and he has to go training to Clare, and he's sitting in the car and drive. And no, it's, yeah, and so there's a lot of juggling going on. Yeah. And it's winter football then as well with our training.
And like, it would be unheard of years ago. Sligo that the likes of Sligo beat Kerry in any competition. No disrespect to Sligo, but those days are long gone because they're putting in a massive effort. The guy in charge of him, his brother is living near us at home, Fintan Henry's brother, and you know, speaking, they're doing everything that all the other counties are doing now. And but the change is the confidence they have. What year has been for Sligo? What a few years has been for them. But I think that the bigger picture here, Donald, is that, you know, the standard in Kerry, this is not a go at the management or anything like that. They're playing with the handicaps they're dealt with. I think the caliber of player coming through and the quality is not good enough to win All Ireland, and that's why we're not winning them.
And what I do then as well, like, and I think that a lot of these guys have played no football. And they haven't played football, and you can be doing all the training you want behind curtains, but I think 3 or 4 county league matches, now let them play with their seniors, and maybe 2 or 3 weeks before a game, and stop them up, because I always found that if you go to, say, you go to Rathmore or you're going in to play the Crokes, you learn a lot from a guy that you're marking. No, whereas when you're behind the wall in Kearns and you're doing a bit of training and you're playing A versus B matches, it's not the same.
And you'd be having the county player going in to a club game. The fella's marking's having a cut at it.
He's having a cut, man.
And the other thing is like that, you know, how many games have these lads played? How much game time have they got? And like, you know, since last, whenever they're training, 3 championship games, carrying a panel, not allowed to play a county league, but yet Jack, after the Tipperary game, he released the players that didn't play out to play county league football. Wasn't that a huge boost for confidence? You're sitting down on the bench today, you're going out tomorrow with your club,
you're a forward,
you're kicking 7 or 8 points and you're getting action.
And of course the football you want to be playing in. Loads of comments coming in, of course, to see them. We won't get to all of them, unfortunately. I mean, I could fill the show with the condolences to the Clifford family, and on my own behalf certainly to Dermot and Shelley as well. And I think at times too we forget about Shelley. You know, we talk about Pádraig and we talk about David, and maybe it's just the beast that it is, but obviously Shelley as well, and Dermot, who of course know from my own part of the world back there in Derry. And of course condolences to the Clifford family, well done to the boys yesterday, great performances across the pitches. We've got a right schooling in the under-20. Sligo well disciplined, but referee was poor, I think. Would like to see the return of the junior championship. Yeah, absolutely. That championship is still going, it's just a Kerry aren't allowed into it. That's for Kilkenny, New York and those sorts now. Hello everyone, great show as always, congratulations Kerry, but unfortunately Clare were always fighting above their weight. A game a bit more intensity, but with backs versus forwards, and the next round will be more or less the same. There are a few games with only 4 teams being eliminated. I think we touched on that. It's a good point. It's a very roundabout way to get rid of 4 teams. I'm sure if Peter Twist sat down and wanted to get rid of 4 teams fairly quickly, he certainly wouldn't give them 3 games and hang around with it. You move on. Are we taking the players for granted, thinking that they can play all these games at the risk of them getting even injured?
That's the key, and we spoke about it. Injury is going to be a big thing. I see Jack has said today in a couple of interviews that now the shadow boxing is over. But is it? Like, are you going to go out and you're going to play your full team in all these games where if you win 1 or 2 games, you've qualified? No, are you going to take a chance of going through the long way or the short way? No, so it's going to be.
And like the other thing we've said about the provincial championships, and it's not beating the same horse again, but like 12,000 in the Gaelic Rounds yesterday, 11,000 above in Salt Hill or above in Castlebar. For Connacht and Munster finals, you'd be talking about 30 plus. And it just goes to show the people are not going to.
Is that just because who ended up there? I mean, if it was Galway, Mayo, and Cork and Kerry, I mean, you're talking 30,000 without even thinking about it.
And that's the imbalance that's there, Donald.
Yeah. But I don't know, is it? As we were above in Cork last year, and don't know, we were on about filling it, weaving out. Well, he was playing in Partney Ring, and it was only barely full. No, so
you wanted to play in Mahon Point.
Of course, we'll bring that up again.
So dig that out of the archives, Ivan. Look, we all love Gaelic football, but it's time for the GAA to look at the product that they're trying to sell. Teams can move onto the quarterfinals by winning one game. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, and that's Brendan in Boston. Thanks, Brendan, for tuning in with us over there in Boston. Come on, lads, it was clear they were playing. I would not go by this performance. I'm happy that they won, though. And I think that's it.
It was the result,
and off we went. Nobody got injured. Jason Foley, were you a bit worried there with 60 seconds left when he scrambled off?
Yeah, it depends, and hopefully it's not a hamstring. Like,
they just gave it a bit of a twinge, maybe. Because he walked off kind of okay, you know, with a hamstring, would be kind of dragging it.
Well, any muscle injury, Yeah. This time of the year.
You could be out.
You could be out.
Yeah. 6 weeks, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Well done to the Kerry team. Fair play to Clifford's great performance. Well done to our North Kerry man, Jason Foley. Huh? And that wasn't from, that was from SD, but it wasn't from John Kennedy. Thank you very much, Ivan Tidings. We beat Clare. Don't lose the run of yourself. Dennis in Killarney, bring us all back down to earth. Yeah, absolutely, Dennis. I don't think we're losing the run of ourselves in that sense, but I get your point, Dennis. I mean, at the end of the day, Clare, a Division 2 team that got relegated, and they're moving backwards a small bit. Michael Hennessy there on Twitter, question for you. Should there be a bigger punishment for the black card in Gaelic football? 10 minutes in the sin bin in the last few minutes isn't worth the crime. I suppose what's probably happening is fellas are committing black card offences with 4 minutes to go and 6 minutes to go. The black card was brought in for that kind of, I don't know, I'll pull you down deliberately. I'll ask the Corrigan man, sure, you've never done anything deliberately.
You never pull anyone down, no. But I suppose, look, like you said, it was brought in for that. Punishment, do you call it cuteness or what? Do you want to stop a game with maybe 3 or 4 minutes to go? But it depends where you're going stopping it then as well, because there is the rule there where you could give away a penalty just as quick, you know. So yeah, look, that's something I don't think you'll ever solve. That's just pure cuteness. You would always be giving out about a fella that wouldn't do it, and next thing there'd be a goal conceded at the end, you know. So I'm sure our Kerry ladies would have taken maybe 1 or 2 yellow cards yesterday when Cork were coming after and got the goals, you know. So yeah, I think just a little bit of cuteness, Donal.
But the interpretation of the ref, two occasions just with David Clifford was fouled, should have got the advantage, went on, yeah, and got the goal,
yeah,
brought it back for a free.
Yeah, I think he understood himself that he made a mistake there. Yeah.
And then the time of the free, we thought was a free for Clare, and all the Clare was gone up the field, yeah, to be fair, and it was the other way around.
That was a bad call.
We got a goal out of that.
We got a goal out of it, in fairness.
And actually, I was watching it, Tadhg Morley thought in his own head it was a free against him, because yeah, he travelled away back to the thing. Yeah. He didn't think it was going the other way.
No.
Yeah. And we got that goal out of it. Was it the second goal we got out of it, maybe? Come here, before we finish up tonight and we go back to the Cliffords, was there a more perfect goal scored by two brothers?
Probably not.
It was perfect.
For the day that was in it,
yeah.
probably not. Because when you actually look at it and see where Paddy actually probably. You know, Paddy nearly paused.
Yeah.
He nearly paused everything and ran in and just told David where to run and ran out, yeah, and kicked it back into him. You know, it was that kind of a thing. But definitely, I'd say the mom was looking down at that, because David had created the space. He'd pulled his man, and next thing he went back door. But Paddy was after telling him before David ever did it. So it was a lovely way for the boys to hit the back of the net.
Well, we've said here go through times about Paddy's vision,
yeah,
that was it,
like, yeah,
wasn't,
yeah,
it, he looked up, he pointed where to go, and what a pass, you know, yeah, brilliant.
I suppose it was scored in the backyard a good few times in Fosso, was it?
I'd say it probably was.
And they were 7 and 4 year old or something.
But the composure of David then, you know, in the circumstances, you know, you'd think he'd have a, but like, he was so composed, so much,
but you could see even that one that you were on about there where the referee called him back, you could see from the word go the power, yeah, that was in the legs. He wanted goals,
yeah, yeah,
because he was going to rattle in it yesterday. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to finish up fairly shortly, lads. We're importantly to talk about James McCarthy's mad to get on the line on the other side. He's there as well. And of course, we're talking pool there around 6:40 as well, so we're gathering it all in. Quick fire questions. Dublin or Louth? One word. Don't give me a synopsis. Just tell me who's going to win it.
Dublin.
Who's going to come out of Ulster?
Ulster, Derry.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Donnelly, you won't be happy with him.
I was going to say that, yeah.
I think they will. They have the scoring power in there.
I don't know, have the scoring power, though. I question the scoring power.
You know, and Glass is crucial to him.
Glass is huge, yeah.
And I think they had the experience of last year. I'm not decent, but I think Derry will beat him.
Liam Brosnan, who's going to win the under-20s?
The under-20s, I fancy Kildare. I think since last year, they're building as well.
You're giving a soft nod to your Castle Island friend, are you?
Yeah, but no, it's just that they're free scoring. They kick some great scores on Sunday as well. No, I think just that they think they have more up front than what Sligo have. Even though Sligo like their thing, they work like dogs. But I think just Kildare will have that little bit of.
Sligo lost their captain too, and so did
a massive loss to
Sligo captain. You know,
I'd like to see
Sligo winning it, but I think I'd agree with Liam. I think Kildare might have that bit too much.
Liam, you never support Kildare after 98, would you?
No, I shouldn't really. No.
Yet, no?
Yeah, come on, Sligo.
It cost you another.
That's what I said.
How many medals would you have if you won that one?
Not enough.
Right, good stuff, Les. Thanks very much. We will be back now. We're going to really ramp it up in the next couple of weeks because, guys, you better get into training because we have three big games coming. Hopefully, we have a quarter final, a semi final, and an All Ireland final. And we're going to expand our coverage, of course, of the GAA coming into the season as well. And you don't have to pay Radio Kerry to listen to Terrace Talk.
No.
So there you go. Next Monday night, free as well.
We could start our own Go page.
You'll be here in time, Liam, will you?
I will. You open the door for me.
Good stuff. We'll take a break. We talk hurling after.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, a disappointing 11-point defeat was the order of the day yesterday for the Kerry senior hurlers as Offaly defeated them above in Tullamore now, which is Kerry's hopes, of course, making the Joe McDonough kind of rest in the hands of others. But sure, we've been down that road before with Carlo helping us out when we needed it. Joining us now are the hurling panel, James McCarthy and Rich Dard are in. Great to have the football boys gone and the hurling boys, and we can talk to real sport now. Rich Dard, if I start with you first, you were there yesterday. I mean, is it the old feeling Kerry shooting left them down again? I mean, we certainly kind of the wheels fell off the wagon in the second half anyway.
Yeah, I think there's been very little between these two teams throughout the year. You know, I suppose our shooting Killarney wasn't great, and you know, Offaly won that game and we could have won it. Same above, I felt, in the Division 2 semi-final, won the 20 wides or whatever, and we only lost by a few points that day, and we could have won that one. And yesterday, even playing badly, we could have been in the mix at the end if we had taken our chances. We had goal chances and point chances. We didn't take them, and Offaly did, but it was very, very disappointing, because I knew there'd be very little between us yesterday in Tullamore, but you know, it just didn't happen, and we thought there'd be a big second half. That didn't happen, and Offaly just pushed on, and we didn't take our chances, and we came home empty-handed. So now it's Saturday evening. Now we'll have to do the job against Laois and hope that Offaly will do us a favour.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so, James, look, you've played at the highest level. I mean, is there a sense in the game when a team knows that it's going away from you, and you look around and maybe a couple of your colleagues or teammates are kind of saying, here, you know, the boat has gone now at this stage, and we're kind of lowering down the gears. Is there a sense that that happens at times, or is it a case that this Offaly team are just getting better than us the more we see them?
I think the last comment you made now is exactly hitting on the head. I think Offaly have moved on. I think we've stuck. We're stuck at the minute, and you can even see that Offaly U20s did go away there 3 or 4 weeks ago. Offaly Hurling is in a good place at the minute. We were not at the races when they went through the gears the second half. We were not at the races. We can't make an excuse for that. We can talk about the first half fight, and yes, good, but Christ, when it came down to it, the game needed to be won. They took it away from us very, very quickly. In 10 minutes they took it away from us.
Yeah,
really took it away from us. It was gone, it was done.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly when Offaly went on a counter, did they hit 6 or 7 points again on the blue, you know, unanswered. Is that just down to them being that much more dominant on the field at that particular time?
I think they were. You know what they were? They're physically stronger. They're physically stronger team, and I think they moved on to a level now. I think they're nearly ready for Division 1 already. I know they're up there next year, but they're actually nearly ready for it already, size wise and physicality and fitness wise. They seem to be kind of nearly getting through the gears now, getting ready, right. We're moving on next year now, we're better in this lot, and they really are putting a stamp on Offaly Hurling, which is, for Offaly Hurling, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But Kerry, we have to look at ourselves a bit and say, Christ, where are we going wrong? Are we still a bit negative? Are we, I know we're getting so many wides. There's a reason for so many wides. Most of them, a lot of them, are actually under pressure. With these guys, when some forwards get the ball, they're very little support, so they're actually having to shoot from desperate angles, or maybe from angles they don't want to shoot in, and we're actually getting wide balls out of it. So at times, when you are lacking numbers up front, it's going to be very hard. Your shot selection is very limited yourself then. You can't recycle as much ball because you don't have the support. We've pulled so many players back. Maybe that's feeding into our wide count as well a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Rich Dard, Laois, it was always going to be a game that we needed to win, and we still, of course, can circle the wagons and win it. Does it really matter that getting to the final is in the hands of others now, or is Laois the only show in town and a result, and that would round out a good season?
Laois, look, at the end of the day, we have to do the bid against Laois, and if we don't do it, we're gone, that's it. I thought at the beginning of the year the Laois would be the top dogs, but you know, it's awfully now, and maybe Cavalier, you just don't know. But no, we just have to do the business centrally on Saturday evening, and what happens then on the Sunday is out of our hands. But you know, we can't look beyond that, and yes, we have to ensure, you know, that we finish the season with a really, really strong performance, because the lads, I'm sure, will be very disappointed after yesterday, because they played below par, and they were very disappointed afterwards. And the only way is to get back on the horse and to go in on Saturday evening and give it a good rattle. And I hope there'll be a big crowd there as well. So I'm calling all the hurling people to get out, get into Austin Stack Park at 5:30 on Saturday evening, and let's finish the season in style. And irrespective of what happens on Sunday, let's go out with a bang.
Yeah, and I think that's very important, Richard. You know, that look, people will all have opinions on hurling, but I mean, they don't fill out Austin Stack Park watching them either. I mean, and maybe rather than talking about them in whatever way they want to talk about them, maybe just get into Austin Stack Park the next day and give them a clap and get them on the field and support them as they deserve, obviously. But of course, getting people in the gate. Come here, James McCarthy. Let's talk about something positive. Was it great to see your own daughter win an All-Ireland, something that you didn't do?
Oh, there's no cause for that.
It is brilliant. No, so I'll tell you the truth, I've never been prouder. It was actually an unbelievable day, because it's not just my own daughter, it's for all the girls. These girls, I've known these girls the last 3 or 4 years, been involved with Kerry Camogie culture and all up along, and you get a real bond with these girls, and I know they've gone through the mill, because I've been with them when we've gone through the mill, gone to Tipperary, gone to Cork, gone to Limerick, getting hammered. I was so delighted to see this bunch win on Saturday afternoon in a titanic battle, massive battle. It was unbelievable up there. And even the parents, you get to know all the parents as well. Like, and we've had a tough year. This team has played no home game this year, Donal. Would you believe it? We've played 6 away matches in this competition and won all 6.
Wow.
We've had 2 in Banhurt, 2 in Limerick, 1 in Moneygall and 1 in Clane. Like Clane, you know, except Dublin, you're probably there dealing with football along the years. You know, it's nearly inside in Dublin. Like, and we had to travel up there last Sunday morning or Saturday morning, and it was absolutely unbelievable. And the amount of parents that were there from both sides, especially the Down as well, like us, and credit to Down, Donal. We went up 5 points early on. I thought, well, we're cruising here. Jesus, Down turned it. They were superb for the next 10-15 minutes, and they rattled off 5 points as well. They had kind of, we measured ours, both teams got a measure of each other by half time. But when the dogs of war needed to be brought out in the second half, when it was brought into a battle, our girls came out, and I was absolutely delighted. And you know, I kind of think back to my own dad when before he died, he says he never won a championship ring like that. And he was a fellow, said to one day, he says, "You never got to final, you never won a championship." He says, "Oh no," he says, "I have something much better." He says, "I have a son that won the East." So now I feel that way about my own daughter. She has 3 All-Irelands. I have none. So, well, I've won. I've won. I'm the 14.
And she's only starting her career, James.
She's only started. I'm in the shadow already.
Richard, let's move from minor to senior. A very positive result for the Kerry senior Camogie players again, of course, playing in front of the men in the Munster Championship. They're really on a roll, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I would disagree with you, first of all, with regard to she's starting her career and James finishing his. You haven't seen him training to me, and I have seen him recently. He's outstanding, like, you know, he's all of you, the man. But anyway, moving on to something more important. The Kerry Camogie finished it. They were absolutely outstanding. And, you know, I suppose it lessened the blow a bit coming down from Tullamore to find out that they'd won. But I suppose to go back to what James was saying there, and it's the honesty of endeavour. I mean, I was involved a couple of years with Kerry Camogie, and I saw firsthand just the honesty of the Kerry Camogie players and how hard they worked, and there's no bull with them. They just go out, they do what they have to do, and the great thing about Kerry as well, the Camogie team, I find, is that they're never beaten. You know, I've often seen games there where we were well down, and next thing, let's say at senior level, you'd see Sarah Murphy or Jackie Hogan or Patrice stepping up and really grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck and saying, "We're not beaten yet, you know, and we're going to fight and fight." And there's great fight and determination, and as I said, there's great honesty of endeavour with these girls. Absolutely brilliant.
And of course, we're only starting the journey with them. Of course, they're in the Munster final now. They're playing Cork, I think, at that level, which is huge. I mean, intermediate level. Just a quick question over. We're down to the last 2 minutes on this segment. James, when you look at the hurling matches over the weekend, the Munster Championship, and look at the big score Kilkenny and Antrim racked up, is it a step too far even for Joe McDonagh teams to get up to that level?
Oh, I think, you know, there's it is, though, we talked about this recently. We said that nearly there's nearly three levels. There's like four levels now. There's Chris Ewing, Joe McDonough, and in between, and Liam McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid there actually is. Like, it's getting to an elite level where the top teams, Joe McDonough teams, cannot touch a top team. Mm-hmm. You can't touch a top team, really cannot. And even Antrim have made the best fist of it lately. And you saw, like, was it Kilkenny? Was it 31 points? 231, 331?
531.
It's an unbelievable score. 531. Like,
and in fairness to Antrim, they scored 320.
It's good. Like, that's phenomenal scoring. Like, you look at a match like that and say, Jesus Christ, what are you? Defenders? Was it like a game of three goals in or something? It was unbelievable. Like, it was score every 30 seconds. You're saying, what the hell? Yeah. That level of play and that movement of ball around the field, that level is huge. Like, you see, that's where the step is. Like, can you keep their score down? You kind of have to think of, like, we need to get score to at least 220, 223, and we've got to keep them down. So, like, you have to work on both sides of the field. I think that's overall what you need, is a huge, huge impetus of players coming in at that level.
Yeah.
And you can see from, that's why I said Kerry under 20s this year, minors, they're playing up Leinster. That might be a help. That might be a little kick, another little lift for them, because we were on our depth in Munster. So maybe that's another little kick, a little step along the way, and you hope that they'll come out of that with a bit more confidence and get through the levels there, and maybe then get ready into the seniors and bring on a different view and a different mentality, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Richard, to finish up, did you ever play pool?
No one again.
Yeah,
were
you any good at it, like?
No.
You wouldn't have made the All-Ireland final, so, no?
No. I was swimming in pool, all right, but no, I couldn't play.
How about you, James? I'd say you would be a bit of a shark around the table, would you?
No, God, no. I said that myself, Richard, we'd have a fair game. It'd be a long
good
game, I'd
stuff. Well, of course, the
All-Ireland
The All-Ireland Champions, of course, of pool is coming on the 17th to 21st. It's over in the Gleneagle. And after the break, we'll be talking to two men that'll know a bit more than we know, I'd say, about it. But listen, guys, thanks very much. Great job, as usual. Congratulations, James. Is there a place for the medal on the mantelpiece yet, or is it somewhere else?
I should trust the dusty ones I have and try the new shiny ones. I think that's the only way.
Leave the two you won there. It is all right. Listen, James McCarthy and Richard O'Foran, thanks very much. We'll take a break and we'll talk pool after that.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Oh, who out there remembers Fest Eddie Felson? Another place here, no, man. God almighty. But of course, that's from the film The Hustler. And of course, that's the 1961 film in which Paul Newman got nominated for an Oscar. And indeed, the film got nominated for 7 nominations. They won 2, losing out to West Side Story. Can you imagine a film, West Side Story, beating a pool story? And of course, the film was about pool. And that leads us on very nicely to our next segment, because the All Ireland Pool Championships are going to be here in Kerry, in Killarney, in the Gleneagle. And they're just around the corner. And of course, I've invited our own answer to Fest Eddie Felson's, of course, in, and I have Niall Marshall and Mike Moriarty. Delighted they're here with us. First of all, lads, thanks for joining us. It's great to have, I suppose, a variety of sports that are out there and kind of showcase them as well. But an All-Ireland for pool, I would have said probably not, but it's a big thing, Niall.
Yeah, it's a big thing, and it's probably getting bigger. The numbers are at its greatest, I think, in the history of the championships. There's 27 counties getting ready to come to Killarney next Wednesday week for 5 days nights at the INEC. Up to 800 competitors in all sorts of categories. There's under 12s all the way up to over 60s, both men and women and wheelchair categories. So it's a big massive festival the whole year. The roads all lead to Killarney for the 5 days of the week.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Mike, we'll be well represented. We've plenty of green and gold, nice tops represented.
Yeah, we've the biggest representation ever. When we started out there years ago, we threw together a team just as a kind of a fun thing. But we formed our association then, and this year we've got three teams in 2 different categories. We've 1 team in the intermediate and 2 teams in the juniors, which is, you're talking about 30 plus players, like, and that was a hard ranking campaign for everyone to make the team, like, it mm-hmm. wasn't in handpicked, like, so we're delighted with that record number as well for our own county, like. Mm-hmm.
Speak to us about the ranking. I presume it's over a course of a year, an amount of games and points and that kind of stuff.
We had 4 ranking tournaments this year, 2 before Christmas, 2 after Christmas, and at the end of the 4 ranking tournaments, the top 6 players are automatic for the A team, and then there's Kerry Trials, so the next 8 in the rankings will play in them, and the top 2 in the Kerry Trials will join that 6, which will get it to 8.
Okay. Okay.
And the sixth in that fail in the Kerry Kerry trials, we'll say, the top six that would automatically get two wildcard picks out from the six that didn't qualify. So there's plenty opportunities for somebody to make a team,
and
there's no favouritism. It's a just way of and then that falls into all the other categories.
You qualify on the table, really, don't
exactly.
You?
I mean,
you have to win.
Exactly.
Niall, I mean, at the end of the day, you're representing your county. It's a national championships and the whole lot. How do the boys approach it? Is it a bit of fun? Is it serious? Do fellas take extra training? Is there boys that you know that will just go into complete close on for the next week and just practice? Or is there fellas that will just come in as cool as a breeze and let it off?
There's probably a bit of a mix of everything, but to be fair, I suppose from our own county in the last number of years, we've been driving the standards. We've had some great success over the last number of years. I think we've in the last four, last five All-Irelands, we've had either a team or an individual in an All-Ireland final. We've had a couple of All-Ireland singles champions. Mike here was an over 50s All-Ireland champion a couple of years ago. Matthew May and Killarney won an All-Ireland junior singles title last year. We did team in the junior category in the team final last year. We're pushing. There is guys into lockdown, I think, from the last couple of weeks, last couple of months even. And we're it's all building into 1 week. Like, so you also need to look on the week. But there's some massive efforts going in all year by all the guys and the ladies. And we're really looking forward to us. You know, we're up for us. And we're hoping to keep the upward trend, which we've going, to keep it going as far as we can.
So, Mike, you've been around the table before in All-Ireland Championships.
Yes.
How did you build up to it?
Well, you'd have to, I suppose, for the week itself, like, you have to really concentrate on your sleeping pattern, because you're going to be up in the morning, possibly 7:30 in the morning, and you're going to be playing maybe all the way to 12 o'clock, maybe roll on, roll off with no breaks. You have to eat properly. And, you know, for the 3 weeks coming up to the 4 weeks, if we could put in 20 or 30 hours a week practice, every few hours you can get. And, like, you just have to hope for the run of the balls. Then, like, it's like the breaking ball on the football field. You know, you're just looking to get you. If you get your share of the look and it goes well, you have a chance. You know,
is a lot of pool kind of mental in the sense that, you know, you have to take on a shot? Is it a percentage game, or do you just go to win it straight away?
Yeah, well, if the table is there, with the new, there's new rules this year, international, so the world rules were there before that, which would be very tactical rules. Mm-hmm. The tactical rules are going out the window now.
Okay.
There's no more two shots, no matter what. So it's a real attacking game now. So if you can't finish a game, you're in trouble. Parting off the break is very important, because it gives you control of the table.
Okay.
But so, you know, there's a few factors there that are very important. Like, but it's an attacking game. Like, and you have to go for it. Like,
the new rules now will make it more exciting to watch. So I presume.
Yeah, it's definitely more exciting to watch. There's a lot more. It's much more exciting to watch, and that's why there's a lot more TV coverage. There'll be lots of streaming tables at the All Irelands this year, which I've had a number of years. But it's definitely much more exciting to watch. You can see it. There's an ultimate pool, which is now on TV, getting lots of coverage, which is the same rule set as what we play as well now. So, and there's qualifiers and everything going on for that, and there's just, yeah, the TV is really, the rules have really changed, I think, a lot because of the TV. But I think it also favours the more stronger players, you know. So it is a more open potting game. It favours the attacking players more so than the tactical players, but there is tactical, it's a different tactical element to it now than there was. So yeah, it's definitely more open, it's more exciting than previously, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, now putting a team out, I mean, it's not just a case of, I suppose, picking them, and you have to finance it, you need a bit of help on that. Who's in your corner for that?
Yes, so we've a fantastic sponsor there, the Kingdom Clinic in Killarney. Tomás Allen and Margaret O'Connor, who own the clinic there in Killarney, they've been great this year. They've come on board and helped us out. There's been a change of dress code for the All-Irelands. They've gone away from the traditional shorts and waistcoats. It's gone to polo shorts now, so it's great to get the Kingdom Clinic on board to help us out with that. We also, I suppose, from a thanking point of view, the Q Club and Clare have been very good to us for a practice facility and running our ranky events, and we've the Hall there in Brussels as well helping us out in that. And also, I suppose, just to Kerry County Council, who've also helped us in the funding aspect, because, like I said, you need to change the equipment, it needs to be updated pretty often with the amount of play that we do on it. And to Finn Office Shirls, well, for helping us out with the applications for that, and guide us through the process. So we're very thankful to all them people to get us to where we are, and hopefully we can represent the county the best we can in the next couple of weeks.
And just a quick one there, Donald, about
We have loads of time, not chasing yours at all.
About Thomas Allen, he's married to a Rustin woman,
right.
But it was absolutely fantastic. And you get Thomas sponsoring, because he's a Corkman.
Oh my God.
So we have a Corkman sponsoring a Kerry team, so I think I checked the Guinness Book of Records and it actually hasn't happened before. So
it's so money for nothing, so.
So the Kingdom Clinic are going into the Guinness Book of Records.
And we have Cork in our group actually in the All-Ireland Championship. So
who aren't sponsored by the Kingdom Clinic.
Exactly.
He might have renegotiated that deal.
Yeah.
Come here, I presume, like all sports, there's a huge social side to it as well. I mean, obviously, it's an All-Ireland. You want to win it. You want to do the best you can. There's the getting there and the training and the whole lot. But socially as well, it's a very social game, Mike.
Absolutely. And you'll have people having their few points out there. Everyone knows, like, how they will they attack the whole situation themselves. Some people will absolutely religiously not have a drink until they're out of the competition of one. More people will sip away. Some people will go over the top. You know, this is just the joys of it. But look, that's what it's all about, like, you know, and we've made great friends over the years, like, you know. Like, there's four teams coming down from Donegal 7 hours. That's some record, like, you know what I mean? Four teams travelling down to Killarney, like, for the week. It's unbelievable, like,
absolutely.
You know?
Come here, you said at the start, obviously, the ladies section as well. How is that going?
Yeah, the ladies, I think there's 70 or 80 in the ladies singles. It's growing as well across the board. We've had one or two ladies with us over the last number of years. You know, we're trying to develop it across the board, especially the younger side. You know, I suppose, like, a lot of you know, the younger numbers are probably dropping, I suppose, because I suppose tables are not really as available as they were in pubs and stuff anymore. So we'll definitely be having a focus on that in the next number of years, because it's very important to keep the youth going. So it's the same with football or hurling or anything. If you don't have the youth coming on board, you know, it's not, you know, you need to keep that going as well. That's very important to develop younger players to keep the whole thing going.
I remember years ago, Mike, that we used to play pool when we were smaller, and we'd ramble into the back of the Shebeen Bar or maybe the town house back in Carsevine. And it's an interesting point, because at that time those pool tables kind of hanging around all over the place. Does that hamper the growth of the sport that's kind of gone?
It definitely does, because I think there's so many distractions for young people now with the PlayStations and all that and Netflix and all that, that they have so many distractions at home, you know, that they can, other things to do. Because when we used to go into the bar, like, having our tenpence to play the game of pool was absolutely just...
And you had to put it in order, of course, to make sure that your tenpence was
in the league. Yeah, and if you lost your game, we were gone. And that was it.
Like, winner stays on.
And winner stays on. So, like, it was just a fantastic outlet, like, for young lads then, but they don't look at it that way anymore, like, you know.
Yeah. Niall, what brought you into the sport? Tenpence anyway to start, obviously.
I suppose I probably would have played a little bit in the pubs when I was younger, like, you know. Then I found, when I went to college, I was in college and there was a college team and there was a big championship with the universities across the country, so it was like a smaller version of the All-Irelands but for colleges. So got into through that, was playing a bit of snooker in Killarney, met Mike and a few other lads, and like that we threw a team together 10 years ago, I think it was, and we've just kind of gathered more people in from then. So I just like snooker, like pool, and like myself, there's a great social aspect to it, you know. It's very unique as well in the fact that you've guys who are over 60, you've guys under 12,
yeah.
You know, you've got, I suppose, the younger guys are keeping the older guys young, and maybe the older guys are maybe helping the younger guys to mature, you know. So there's a great mix across the board, you know.
Yeah, Mike, same question to yourself. Can you remember the first time you saw a pool table?
Yeah, both Kate Pat's Bar and Brusna. Like, as you mentioned earlier, those were the days where there was, on St. Stephen's Day, there'd be a pool tournament there. The pool table would be going from 12 o'clock in the day until probably 12 o'clock that night. And I was saying, I can't wait to play in this tournament. And winning it was like what Luca Brazil won. The World Championship. It was like whoever won that, like, had status in the village and everything. And then it just kind of grew from there, didn't, like, you know, just always loving the game. Like,
and of course, Brusna has that unique Limerick, Cork, Kerry, you know, oh my God. Is it where the three counties meet?
There'd be a bit of bite there, all right. Like, but I can say that we definitely support Limerick in the hurling, but with Cork now, I'll have to take a kind of a rain check on that one to see, like, would we be supporting Cork in the hurling? But
so there's no hurling back in Knocklaclary, is there?
Exactly, yeah.
Hardly there at all. You had to go to church there one time when your own church shut down, didn't you?
That's right.
Go back by bus. Come here, Niall. Can anybody go in the next day to watch it in the Glen Eagle?
Yeah, it's wide open from Wednesday at 12 o'clock. It'll start next Wednesday week. Anybody can go in. There's 52 tables. The atmosphere will be electric. It'll be like darts except for pool. There'll be borons, there'll be flags, there'll be every sort of thing. So there's going to be a massive crowd in the arena. The place will be buzzing. So yeah, anyone can go in from 12 o'clock. It's probably going to be on from 12 o'clock in the day. It's actually, it'll be 12 o'clock starting the Wednesday, but every other day after that will start at 9 a.m. Mm. And it'll be going until 12
o'clock.
Do you
feel a little bit more responsible because you're hosting the event as well as the Kerry? It's, I mean, obviously what a venue it is, it's in Kerry, you're the Kerry club, that kind of stuff. Is it a big show for yourselves as well to roll out to the rest of the competing counties and say, this is us, this is our, what we do?
Yeah. Well, we feel the fact that we're the host county, at least we've got three teams in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a bit of an embarrassment, like we're the host county, that people can commute in and out and that we can only get one team. You know, it's great that we've three teams is above the average, so it's great that we're well represented anyway, you know.
Fair play to you. Teams, do you ever play soccer, lads?
For fun. Not competitively.
Well, the next guys that are coming after 7 o'clock, they don't play fun. They play soccer very competitively and for fun as well. And we're delighted to be joined by the Gaynor Cup and the Kennedy Cup teams and squads and all that after 7 o'clock. Lads, the very best of luck with your All-Ireland event. Obviously, the very best luck to each and every person that puts on a nice Kingdom Clinic hoodie or top, whatever it is. Is it nicer to wear that? Or is it nicer to wear the old?
Oh, definitely. Well, that's just for kind of just for different occasions, because we have a polo. There's a polo, yes. Like polo for the playing. That, but the polo is way easier than the waistcoat because of so the
So Niall has all sorts of clothes wearing, is he?
Ah, sure, exactly. Well, he's the chairperson, so he gets kind of the bragging rights to do what he wants to do.
He puts the expenses in at the end of the year. Thanks very much, guys. The very best of luck to you. Delighted you could join us this evening. And sure, you never know. Sure, if you win an All-Ireland or don't, you might come in another night.
Absolutely.
Don't be strangers, now.
We'll bring in the 36 of us.
Sure, yeah. You know what? We'd fit most of you in if we had to.
Yeah.
We might even bring a pool table in.
There's
room next door for a pool. We put that on the chart there, Ivan. Pool table for Terrace Talk. That's what we're looking for. After break, we turn our attention to soccer and boxing.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
No, we'll have to build a bigger studio because we've been joined by the Gaynor Cup team, the 2023 team, of course. Delighted to be joined by Siobhan Cushion as well, their manager. And of course, that's for the countdown, of course, for the Kennedy and Gaynor Cups, which will take place at the University of Limerick. And of course, it had begun in earnest, really, as both sides were unveiled officially last Friday evening at the Golden Nugget in Fossa. And of course, Kerry will be very busy in the Kennedy Cup. They're going to face North Dublin, Longford and Lisburn. And in the Gaynor Cup, which is the girls, they're going to face Sligo, Leitrim, Kildare, DUL and Roscommon District. My God, loads and loads of football. I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by, I'd say the whole team is here really, isn't it? Who's here?
Ashton Falvey.
What's your club?
Soul Celtic.
Lauren Buckley, Master Geeha.
And Niamh Fitzgibbon Park.
Ava Sheehy, La Soul.
Saibo Halloran, Killarney Celtic.
Ali Bowler, Killarney Celtic.
And their manager,
Siobhan Cushion, Park FC.
Sounds like a quiz, doesn't it? No, listen, now we're going to ask you all your favourite bits. But before we talk at all, okay, I popped along to Fossett last night and I recorded a very good interview with the captain, the vice captain. Mm-hmm. We'll have a quick listen to it.
I'm very excited about it. So, like, it's a great experience to be, like, just to be able to play for Kerry and to be vice captain as well, like, as it's my first year of Kerry. So, it's a great achievement and, like, really proud of it.
Yeah. And, of course, you're coming from a great club outside in Listowel Celtic. Tell us a little bit about Listowel Celtic and their ladies section.
I don't really know. Our coach is Dominic Scanlon. Dominic's there a long time, yeah. So it's a nice old club. Like, there's a few Listowel players here now, and like, we're all kind of like close friend groups together, sure, because they're coming from like my van and at Fort. But it's like a really, like, it's kind of, it's not really a small club, but like, it's a decent sized club, and it's like everyone knows each other, and it's like everyone just gets along, and it's just really nice.
Absolutely. And speaking about decent sized clubs, Killarney Celtic, pretty decent sized club.
It's a great club. There's two others with me on the team from Killarney Celtic. We do great as a team, and yeah, it's great to play at Celtic. Yeah.
And of course, you're the captain of the Gaynor Cup side. I suppose there's probably maybe a bit more responsibility at times on a captain and such, but it depends on the squad as well. And there's a great buzz here tonight, particularly with all the girls.
Yeah, I think we're very close as a team, and you can see it on the pitch that we get along like very well together. So there's not much I need to do, like take charge, but yeah, they're a great bunch of girls anyways.
Yeah, and of course, preparations are wrapping up here at the moment. The Golden Nugget now are the new sponsor the jersey. Fantastic jersey.
Yeah, it is. This is the one, number 13, my number for the Gaynor Cup anyways, yeah.
Okay, and of course number 13 is very famous out here in Fossa as well for another sport, which we won't talk about. The Gaynor Cup, what's your hopes?
We're trying to like do our best for now. We're not really aiming for any certain position, like, but we're going to try our best and to have that kind of fight and desire to get somewhere well anyway.
Mm-hmm. And how has training been going?
It's been good, yeah. We have two new coaches, Owen and Tom, and they're really pushing us, but still making it enjoyable, and that's what it's supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm. Of course, enjoying the game is a huge part of it. Winning, of course, everybody wants to win and win and win. But enjoyment is really number one, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, like, when you go out on the pitch, you'd want to have a bit of fun with it, but like, it takes the game a bit serious, but you want to have a bit of fun like as well with it, so you're not all getting ticked with each other, so like, to have a bit of enjoyment and have a bit of a laugh, because that's what like sport's about, to bring everyone closer together.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course the team has to be close together. Are you surprised at how good this team is and the bond and the great fun that you have?
Well, like, not really, because like everyone like kind of just, we all kind of click together in like our group, so like everyone's like friends with everyone, and like we all kind of like talk away to each other, and it's just a lovely group. Like, they're all lovely girls, and like they can make anyone laugh in any situation, so like they're just an enjoyable group to be around.
Go on, who's the person that can make them laugh the most inside the team?
Probably Niamh and Leah.
Good God, who are the two talkers in the team?
Aideen Larkin, Niamh Fitzgibbon.
Oh my God. And who are the two that are always late?
No one really. They're all kind of on time, like. That's so good. Like, you have to be on time like with training and stuff, so you can't be like walking up like a half an hour late.
Absolutely. And who's the first person with the camera out to take the team photograph?
Simon Halloran.
Yeah.
They like their photographs in Kilcommon, don't they?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Listen, girls, thanks very much, and the very best of luck to you in the Gaynor Cup. There you go, that was a piece we recorded earlier. Of course, Kilcommon, great photographs. Siobhan, when you hear an interview like that, I mean, it's a professional interview. I was really taken back how good they were. You know, I mean, normally when you go out and you interview underage, you're going to get a bit of humming and hawing, the whole lot. But they were really good. They use words like a lovely group, they make people laugh, close bond, great team, great teammates. That's kind of a special group to play and share and manage.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You do get that impression of them immediately, in fact, because even the other night at the launch, you know, I was saying that for some of the girls, they've been here 3 years, in fact, and then some of the girls, they've only been here since November. But you wouldn't think that. You think, in fact, they've all been together for the last 3 years, because there does seem to be that genuine bond amongst them. But you know what? Sport does that in general anyway. And the fact that they're all like-minded girls, you know, they're all driven, they're all, you know, competitive. But in the end of the day, in all honesty, it's friendship is kind of what makes the team bond. So I'm not surprised by that interview, actually. It made good listening, you know, I liked it. But, you know, like you said, the professionalism, you know, it is ramping up. You know, the gear is ramping up for sure. And the launch kind of drove that home the other night. That was very exciting. And I was really pleased with the amount, I was saying to them, you know, of the media and the press and yourselves that were there. Just, you know, bigging up the girls, because they deserve it, because it's such a huge, prestigious tournament. You know, you were all looking for interviews, for comments, for photographs. The girls deserve this acknowledgement, because it's some achievement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Being the top 18 players in your county to represent Kerry and Gaynor, it's mm-hmm. phenomenal.
And in a country that has a team in the World Cup.
Yeah, that is special. Absolutely. Well, we'll actually be finished our season by then, but you know, we are going to reconvene for sure and watch the Irish women when they're over in Australia. We're incredibly proud of them, and you know what, it's something to strive towards, isn't it? And something mm-hmm. for the girls to look up to. And even now, you know, when you ask the girls a couple of years ago, you know, who's your favourite player, who's your favourite soccer player, you're talking about Messi or Ronaldo or whatever, and now you're talking about Katie McCabe, you know, and all those players. So they're a huge inspiration for the girls, and it's really relevant now as well. Mm-hmm. Really relevant. Girls soccer is just becoming phenomenal.
Yeah, how preparation's going?
Really good. Yeah, really, really good. As Ali mentioned there in her interview Friday night, we have two new coaches, Ona Mahoney, and we've Tom in. And, you know, there's, you know, myself, but, you know, they need a new voice as well, actually, at this stage. You know, we can only get them so fit, which they're at their peak, actually, at the moment. So we're kind of, you know, honing in on the tactical and the technical kind of side of things. So we have the two boys in, and we have Aisling and Cara Kelly, and we actually have an international head coach the under 17 international girls head coach, is doing a pre-gainer session for us on Friday night below in Kinmare, and we're going to kind of double that up then as another team bonding. So it's really building, you know, and I love the build up to anything really sometimes is kind of all of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's just it's the buzz and it's electric and
yeah, you know, the vibe is unreal, lads, yeah. Isn't it? In camp at the moment. And like I said, Friday night at the launch really just kind of ramped it up a little bit for the girls. I think they're getting a bit of, you know, realisation what this is in fact all about, you know.
The photographs. You know, with the jersey and the whole lot and the interviews and the whole lot. Come here, Ellie, we spoke to last night. You brought most of your team here tonight, and like fair play, she was like, my God, we're going to fit all this gang. The enjoyment is a great part of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think starting soccer with this team, it's widened like my circle of friends, and I made like friends for life on this team. And even though like Ava and Niamh, I only met them back in November, and like straight away I think we all clicked as a team, and that's something that's really important. If you're a team, you need to know them well and get to know them well, and I think we got along great and you can see it.
Mm-hmm. So Eve, of course you're the most important person in your family, aren't you?
Sorry.
You're supposed to say yes.
Yeah I am, of course.
Absolutely. Of course your sister achieved something, didn't she?
Yeah, she's a world champion she came second in the world for...
Well, yeah, but she was formerly a world champion. God almighty, give her her whole title before you go. What's it like to play with all this gang here?
It's an unbelievable achievement and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Is that it? What about yourself from Listowel Celtic? You're from a decent club. It's a great club to be involved with, Listowel Celtic, isn't it?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Best club to be around.
Do you find the jump from Listowel Celtic to training with the Gainer Cup is a little bit tougher?
Well, like, the trainings are definitely, like, more intense, like, because obviously you're stepping up a stage going into county, so, like, it's obviously going to be more intense and, like, you're going to have more running to get your fitness up higher up in county level, like.
Absolutely. And we'll say, Leah, is it?
Niamh,
good God, Niamh, you have to fire me, Niamh. Niamh, your involvement in it, I mean, when you see the text for training, Gainer Cup, is it like, oh my God, I can't wait, we better go get the boots off, we go?
Yeah, it's like a sense of excitement, so you know what's happening. And
well, hopefully you know what's happening, that's the good stuff. Siobhan, I mean, I suppose everything is judged these days by results and what groups you're in, how successful you're in. What are your targets? Are your targets to compete well? Is your target to have good performances? Is it to improve the girls' skill and move on to another level late? What are the targets as the manager?
Well, you know what? You know, I don't focus a whole pile on targets, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. We actually took part in a tournament yesterday in Clare. Mm-hmm. A really, really good tournament, actually. It was the Clare Youth Soccer Festival, and we played three games. We played Southtip, Limerick County, Limerick Desmonds. Now, you know, we didn't put the results, I don't think, up in social media, but it's actually irrelevant, because I kind of think when you take part in games, for me personally, I think they're 10 times better than a training session any day. So,
and of course, it's all growth and development as well. I mean, you know, if you're winning something at this level, I mean, you're probably not going to sustain it all the way through, and you don't learn enough about yourself anyway.
Yeah, well, that's it. You want to play up, in fact. You know, you don't want to always play, you know, kind of the underdogs. You want to play up and see kind of how high your standard, you know, should be. But, you know, I do have good expectations of going into Gainer. There, you mentioned, you know, we play Roscommon, Kildare, we play Listowel. We play Sligo Leitrim.
Old county and so on, huh?
So we're seeded number 2 and we're in group 5, so we play those three teams in the beginning. Yeah. And would you believe we've never actually played them before, which is unusual. You know, when you're playing the Interleague over, you know, Ireland, you'd have met kind of a lot of those teams before, and we've not met them before. And you know what? Intentionally, I'm not doing a whole pile of... sussing their team out, because I just kind of want to go up, in all honesty, and play our own game when we get there, you know, and enjoy the experience, because there's been too many occasions when we're going up playing like old nemesis of ours, like Southtip and Limerick Desmonds, and I'm asking our, you know, couple of girls to kind of do the man marking, but you know what it does? It kind of detracts from their own game. So I don't want to do that going into Gainer. They're well prepared. They're psyched. You know, we've another 4 weeks, so you know we're going to end up the ante even more, and I do feel that we're going to be as prepared as we possibly can, so we can only do our best. My expectations, I can't say that they're too high or too low. I really don't have any as such. I just know that we will do ourselves proud, and the girls will just do,
Well, seeing that I know most of you know, I can't wait for the Gaynor Cup. I can't wait to see the results and all the goals coming in, or maybe not. It doesn't really matter, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Well,
as long as you go and enjoy yourself.
The goals matter. Oh, geez, yeah, no, let's not be under any illusion.
You're going from non-competitive to competitive in 40 seconds. You're a great man.
Oh, no, I'm certainly competitive. I'm just saying, once we do our best, in all honesty,
absolutely,
that's all
fair
we can
pleasure. And listen, we'll certainly enjoy the journey as well. We'll be watching out for all the results.
Thank
Very
you.
Best of luck. And hopefully you all get to play, and hopefully nobody gets injured and you enjoy it. And the parents all turn out in big numbers, and all those out in Muckers will bring the big banners, will they? The Kilcoman gang will certainly bring banners, will they?
I suppose they will.
They'll have banners and all the very best. Listen, Siobhan, the very best of luck.
Have
you seen the Kennedy Cup boys play?
No.
Oh, that's not very positive anyway. We'll have to chat about them. They're coming in straight after the break. Thank God there's only about 5 of them, not 24 like yourself. And we'll get through. But listen, thanks for calling into Terrace Talk. And you know what? If you bring back a cup, or if you don't bring back a cup, you might visit us again.
We sure will. Thanks, Millie.
Fair play to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. And of course, the Gaynor Cup gang are gone, and we've been joined by the Kennedy Cup. I mean, it is all cups and teams and everything. And of course, this extends on as well from their launch, of course, which took part in Fossa last Friday evening. And again, you know, it was great excitement that the boys and the girls in together, the photographs, the media. It gave a kind of a real sense of a buzz. I'm delighted to be joined by a number of the current team and a man who was there before, who'd done it all before. We'll talk to him as well, Denny Diggins, shortly. But Preston, when you see it all coming together, it makes it very real all of a sudden.
It is, yeah. Look, there's the preparation that went into it was huge. We started back last October, and now to see it actually come together in the last week, we're starting to ramp up with the launch night, and then Saturday we went off to Clare. We spent the night in Clare and played a 2-day tournament, so it's really starting to ramp up now for Kennedy Cup. We're getting excited.
Mm-hmm. Audrey, you're the captain. You excited?
I'm very excited, yeah.
Yeah. Just like take two with you. We interviewed last night. What was the club?
LB Rovers.
Good stuff. And what's it like to be the captain of this group?
Oh, it's a massive achievement. Being in Division 1, not even in the Premier Division. I wasn't really expecting to be a captain, but...
So you're coming from the outside?
I'm from the outside, yeah.
Good God. And of course, we'll be joined by a friend of ours who used to be in the Gael, Denny Kingston, back again. Never realised you played soccer.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
What's your club in soccer?
Spurns Park.
Oh, actually. They're the best ones, are they?
To win the league tomorrow, hopefully.
Good stuff, fair play to you. And of course, I've been joined by Danny Diggins, who's done it all before in the past, and I'll talk to Danny in a second. Preston, how's your build-up? I asked Siobhan about the build-up. What's your build-up like to it? I mean, this tournament is the top tournament at this level, and something that everybody competes in, and there's great names comes out of it, I suppose, in reality as well. And for all the world, I mean, it's the most elite tournament at this level.
It is for the boys at this age. Look, I suppose they build up to this since they were 5 and 6 and 7. They know about the Kennedy Cup at a young age, and it's a huge achievement to get through the trial process. We started in October with 105, I think, trialed out. We brought it down to 24 for the Interleague programme, which was before Christmas, and we were lucky enough to reach the final of that. And then it ramps up into the final 20, and the preparation really kicks on then from March, April time, and we're really ramping up.
Mm-hmm. And of course, when you say that the preparation ramps up, I mean, I suppose you're going kind of more into, is the training, are you doing kind of stats, analysis, videos? You're taking it as professionally as you can.
Oh, we are, yeah. Look, there's a good coaching team. There's myself, there's Corey Mitchell from Killarney Celtic, Mike Gearan, Master Gija, and Mike Crosser from the Park, the goalkeeper coach. And it gets down to the level. Corey brings the boys in from time to time. We have the video, the game's recorded on VO, so he does some analysis work with them, and everything is structured, and mm-hmm. there is a definite plan. And
does it feel kind of special, Audrey, when you go into a room and somebody's doing the video analysis, and you can see the positives and maybe the not so positives about how you play? Does that kind of make you feel bigger and stronger and more professional and all that?
Yeah, obviously when you're getting to know the details of the game, you feel a bit professional, and getting to know from the negatives and trying to turn them into positives is also better for it as well.
Mm-hmm. And Danny, I suppose you like in football, you probably have the same as well at different level, but in soccer, like it's a smaller group. First of all, you have 11 on the field as opposed to 15, the whole lot. What's it like to be involved maybe in a smaller environment with the smaller numbers, knowing that all the players are up to the same level as yourself?
It's good to know that like players around you you can trust every single one of them. Whether like in other sports, like there mightn't be as much, but that you can trust. But in soccer, I think it's brilliant that having a lot of players on a team that you can trust is great.
Mm. Do you trust Master Gee here, players?
No.
All right, good stuff. Great lead into our next segment in here. I interviewed two Master Gee players the last evening. And of course, they're going to lead on to Denny's intro very shortly because Walt Dinfield has done something very important in 2015. Now, delighted to be joined by two Master Gee players on this year's Kennedy Cup, Con Dealey and Rowan Guerin. Both boys, of course, quite associated. 2015 was a special year when you won. And of course, the winning goal was scored by
Dylan Murphy.
From?
Glenfles. Well, Gee.
You're going to claim him as a Glenfles man, are you?
He was, of course. Only a countryman could do what he did.
Absolutely. And of course, he did something really special. I mean, he scored the winning goal in 2015. Is that something that you're hoping to do?
I'm just there for the enjoyment, really, you know, to get the Gee on the map.
Absolutely. Speak to us about the club. It's just outside Killarney.
Being a club out in the sticks, like, you know, we don't get much players around, like. But it's good to get players in the Kennedy Cup, all right. So hopefully more players from around Guineaguilla and all them can join us.
And bring them in.
Yeah.
All the boys from the countryside. Of course, the Kennedy Cup, it's a special tournament, Rowan. What have you been told about it already?
It's a big enough competition. And, like, all the best players have been playing there, like Evan Ferguson, Nathan Collins. So,
does it excite you to think that you're playing in a competition that there's current Irish internationals and there's boys playing in the Premiership, that they've all kind of come through this system, and the chances are you're going to be playing against guys who are going to move on at some stage of their careers, and maybe even yourselves might move on? How exciting is it to play in a tournament built up like this?
Sure, delighted, like, you know yourself, sir. Sorry, the enjoyment of it. And
yeah. Come here, speak to us about the training, of course. You're probably upping it a small bit, maybe closer to the game time itself. What's the training like?
It's high intensity. We do good warm up drills, and then we have a bit of crack, but
yeah,
we're serious now from now on.
The crack and the fun is important.
Of course, the crack and the fun is important most of the time, right? But you know, we've really started to get to work now the past month now. We're getting ready for the Kennedy Cup. The crack was only really in November, December, like, but sure.
You're in full season now.
Yeah, we've had to knuckle down now.
Come here, we're here tonight in Fossa, of course, at the launch of it, and it's only a couple of weeks out now, I suppose, before it gets really serious and you get going. It's also a big tournament for your parents and your friends and your family and, of course, the club itself. Do you go back and people say, how's training going for the Cup team? They know you're on it, I suppose.
Oh, you do, like, being from a small place like Guineaguilla, like, everybody know you because you play for Kerry, like, it's not every time a person from out here gets on a Kerry team. So it is a proud moment, like.
I suppose we have to go back to Ambrose Donovan, 1984, winning captain. Come here, are you from the Kilcommon side of it?
No, Glenfesk. So.
Glenfesk as well? Good stuff. Finally, what are your hopes?
We always go out there to win something, like. So we'd be looking forward to winning something, so.
And will Glenfesk work with Guineaguilla on this occasion?
For once, we will, you know. There'll be a few fights along the way, but, you know, we'll have to take the rough with the smooth.
That's it. Fair play. Listen, boys, thanks very much. Yeah, absolutely. There we go. Con Dealey and Rowan Guerin, of course, two Master Gee players. And that leads on nicely, of course, to our next segment, which we'll take after. Danny Diggins, good evening to you. Thanks for joining us as well. Does this bring back memories of 2015 fairly quickly when you talk about build-ups and players and all that?
Oh, it does, Donald. No, it's great for the lads there listening to them now. Training and going this weekend or just last weekend, gone to Liston Varna as well. We did that as well. It seems to be a good pre-tournament to go to. And I think we actually got to the final of that as well, and Limerick beat us. So, you know, it's great. And the build-up, as you say, is fantastic for the lads, and it's going to be a great opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know Dylan Murphy, of course, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and so of course the boys know them out there in Master Gee as well. And after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about that 2015 win.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Of course, we're talking all things Kennedy Cup. 2015, Danny, it was a very special year for Kennedy Cup, for Kerry, obviously, because we won it. Going into that finals, did you know that was something that was achievable?
To be honest, we did, because there were a special group of players, and they were physically very big. Rather than the players, now I had been up twice before, but this group were very physically big, a lot of 6 foot kids inside her. And it was a time where we were working on set pieces, corners and things like that to our advantage, and it did work. Mm-hmm. And we found that on the pre tournament in Liston Varna as well. Yeah.
And of course you were notoriously hard to beat, because you obviously walked all the way through, I suppose, just about 1-0 and all you can.
Well, I think you gotta play to your strengths and use your bench a lot, you know, and get fellas on the bench and mind them when you are ahead, and don't go mad trying to, you know, work the guys that are on too long, and use your bench and carefully and get through the first two games. If you can win them, that's a big bonus.
Mm-hmm. And of course you ended up in the final against, I suppose, the elite of the elites, didn't you?
We did, like, and you know, we were in the semi-final and we won the penalty shootout 10-9, you know, and David Dineen, that they had to be carried up to take the 10th penalty because he was injured, and he got the winning penalty for us. But then when we went in to play the DDSL, like, physically we were a lot bigger than them, but they were technically better than us, all right. Mm-hmm. But just, we had a game plan, we stuck to it, and we grew into the game. Got a set piece, a corner just before the end of the first half, and Dylan Murphy took a bicycle kick.
Right.
You know, you mightn't have known what he was doing with it, but it ended up in the back of the net anyway.
Been like Ray Houghton.
Yeah, something like that, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, what did it mean after the aftermath of it? I mean, it's a prestige tournament, but Kerry were winning it. I mean, not to take too far on the point, I mean, if it was a football tournament, we'd say we deserved to win it and we should have won it. This was a soccer tournament. We were playing a sport that Dublin teams won year after year after year for free. Waterford might win the other one, or Cork might win the other one. What was it like coming back to Kerry? Oh,
look, it was a fantastic achievement by the lads. Like, Dublin come down every year with T-shirts, you know, DDSL winners of the Kennedy Cup 2015. Right. They had them, like, we saw. And, like, to beat them, especially them. And there was no League of Ireland that year either, you know. Mm-hmm. They were all the top players. Kieran Marcison's son, he joined Liverpool after the following year for €1 million.
Wow.
So, like, that's the quality of player we were up against.
Yeah.
And we came out on top. It was just fantastic.
Yeah. And, of course, they had some players that went on to be Irish internationals as well.
Oh, they had, yeah. The Nathan Collins and Keogh, they were all there. And Nathan Collins was worth 50 million, I think.
Yeah.
The last time he transferred, so you can just imagine
what Dylan Murphy's worth. Poor old Dylan, fair play.
Yeah.
Preston, when you hear and you look back, it's obviously something that's hugely achievable. We've done it. It's not the impossible dream anymore. Preparations probably have move on to from 2015, I suppose things get a little bit more professional. The setup and the management and the time and the commitment, it's a big ask, isn't it?
It's a big ask from all of us involved, from the coaches to the players to the parents as well involved in it. But I suppose, look, the standard of soccer in Kerry has grown massively, and it's down to the coaching that's done by the clubs at 5-6 years of age. You can see it, the Kerry teams are doing very well in all the interleague programmes now. We have girls team in the final this weekend.
Sorry.
16s. This team made the cup final this year, so we are progressing. We are.
Is that down to the clubs getting stronger as well, then, and more, yeah, going in at club level? That you, at one time, I'd imagine you'd pick from a small handful of clubs where you get better players, but now you can scatter the county and find players.
Yeah, exactly. This year's group now, we have 9 clubs represented from 20 players across 9 clubs, which just to show that the spread of talent across the county is massive, and that's down to the clubs and the commitment and the investment in coaching and grassroots coaching.
People
are buying into it, getting the courses done, and it's really, really paying off. We have a very strong group of boys. And
Audrey, what's it mean to your family when they know you're the captain of the Kennedy Cup, and your friends, and you go back to your club and the whole lot? Obviously you said already that you're coming from a smaller club, you quote, but what's the feeling like when people meet you on the street and say, are you getting ready for the Kennedy Cup and all that?
There's a buzz around the town anyway. Just a young fella from Ballybunion, captain of the Kennedy Cup, you won't get it often.
But sure, it might become a thing now. You never know. She might have opened that door for everybody else. And that's the most important thing too, Danny, isn't it? I mean, that it's across the county. It doesn't really matter what club you are. If you're good enough, you're on the team, and that makes the team what it is.
Yeah, like, sure, there's lads. There's a lad from Ivra down in Kenmare, like. Is that where? Castlevine.
Down in Castlevine. You're going very close to my home now, so...
down in Castlevine.
That's it.
And team is... He made a team, and he just, like, no other fella from Castleview made it, like.
Yep.
And that's a great achievement. And of course, Owen from Ballybunion, there's one other lad from Ballybunion on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them are captains, so that's very good as well.
Danny, the team etiquette in any team bond is very important, you know, to get it right and the whole lot. But players turning up, and we're talking about Iveragh players, and we're talking about Ballybunion and Tralee and Killarney and the whole lot. Getting that team bond right and together, is that a difficult thing to do to Sage Group?
Well, if you're working like Preston is now within the last year or so, you know, they're working together, they're training together, they're doing playing in the interleague. They have been probably in inter-county setups as well before that. You know, you will build up that team bonding with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when we had our team in 2015, there were six of the lads from Killarney Celtic, and like they were really driven kids. And as I said to you before, there were six of them went on and they won All-Ireland minor medals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a phenomenal level.
That is amazing, actually.
Yeah.
That they went on through football and won and did a sport. So that kind of proves that if you're competitively and you're good and you do all the right things, you can succeed at any sport, really.
Once you're coached properly, and as Preston is saying there, you people do the coaching badges and they're guiding you in the right way, you know, you can win these competitions.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubting that.
I asked Siobhan earlier about the targets and the performance and what's a good success and not a good success and the whole lot. Where do you lie in that, Preston? I mean, I won't put pressure on the players and say, oh God, we need to win it or we need to whatever. But what kind of performances are you looking that you would come away and say, yeah, that's a good job done by us?
Well, I think we have the, as a group, we have the mentality that we're in this to, mm-hmm. the right key mentality, we're in this to win it. We think we've proven through the interleague programme that we got to the final, and it wasn't the Shield or the Bowl, it was the Cup final. We were the top two teams in the country. Very unlucky on the day, but we're going up there and we will be well prepared, and we'll give it our best shot. We're not going up there to take part. We're up there to bring it home. That's the plan.
So you can walk downtown a couple of weeks' time and say, hi, Danny, you have one of these as well.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Poor Danny wouldn't have to be rolled out ever again for the 2015. Yeah. Come here, Danny. When you look back, I mean, you must have got immense enjoyment about winning that.
Oh, without a doubt. Look, we probably didn't have the same technology as the lads have now, you know, bringing in the videos and all that kind of thing. We were on the pitch three nights a week, maybe before, a month before the competition, and bringing the lads to the games and talking to them a lot and making sure that they knew they were winners, you know. And I think that's what you have to drive home to the kids, that they can win this competition, and
mm-hmm.
they'd definitely have a great opportunity, I believe, because I've seen these lads play and they're fantastic players, and the two lads are on the Irish team as well, so like you have quality down there.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fantastic again. Yeah. Guys, listen, the very, very best of luck, okay? Really mean that. Look, you're great ambassadors for the game, first of all. I mean, you'll be wearing the Kerry jersey up there. You're carrying the hopes of the whole county. Can you imagine that? Even people down in Castleveen will be supporting you, down in Iveragh, which is fantastic as well. And listen, Ordon, very best of luck to you as well. I mean, the captain, it's a big role. But having met you a couple of times now, I'd say it'll be cool as a breeze. You'll be safe enough. Preston, of course, obviously, look, the amount of work that goes in, you know, fair play to you, thanks very much. You know, fingers crossed and toes crossed and the whole lot. And I suppose I'll have to end tonight, I suppose, on a sad link, because really Padraig Hartnett should be here, shouldn't he? Do you know what I mean? You could imagine he'd be sitting there over that, he'd be all excited about it, he'd own the whole Kennedy Cup thing, he'd have the stats ready and the whole lot. But you know what, as a tribute to him, to get ye out here this evening, it was fantastic, and I want to thank everybody that helped out in that. Audrey, did you ever do a bit of boxing?
Never did boxing, no.
Oh, come on, Danny, you certainly boxed a bit, did you?
I don't, but I have a boxing bag at home, like.
Good God. Well, the next crowd will show you how to use it anyway when they come in, and we'll be talking to the sleeve. Look, there's three national champions coming in here, you know, so no pressure on you guys with the Kennedy Cup, you know, and it's super. And listen, the very best look from everybody here at Terrace Talk and Radio Kerry and the whole lot. We'll be tuned in, looking for the results and the whole lot. And sure, if you bring it back again, we'll put it up there on the table where Danny is. We'll bring Danny back as well, because he can tell us about 2015 again. Listen, guys, thanks very much. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry this Monday evening, Donalbury, which is 8 o'clock. It's a very, very busy show. I mean, we had about 25 Gaynor Cup girls inside. We had the Kinsey Cup gang just gone out the door, and sure, we had four empty seats, might as well fill them as well. I'm delighted to be joined by, I suppose, nearly half the Sleeve Lucre Boxing Club, and certainly some very well represented national champions. And of course, congratulations, first of all, to the club, to Mary McDonough, who is the girl 575 kg, by four champion 50 kg, James E. Casey. We've had him in before, he's a great champion, and a new face for Radio Kerry, Tommy Murray, Munster champion and All-Ireland champion by 140 kg, and of course joined by their coaches as well. Tommy Murray, I'll start with you. What's it like to be a national champion?
Oh, it's very good.
Just very good?
And like, proud of myself, and yeah, made my family proud as well.
Brilliant. Where are you from?
Cork. I'm born in Cork, but from Tralee.
Good God, you're a bit of a half and half.
Yeah.
On Munster final day, you wear the Cork jersey and the Kerry jersey.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Come here, tell us a little bit about your training and how you won your championship.
Oh, I was training very hard. Go for jogs now and train at home. Then go out to the club, then train out there. Four nights a week then.
Wow. And when you say training, God, he's a very good talker, isn't he? My God, fair play to Jennifer, you brought in a good talker this year. Tommy, when you say training, what's training when you go to training? Is it sparring or is it boxing? Is it bag?
We do bags, jogging, skipping, shadow boxing, exercises and all that.
So you're in great shape.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And of course, you went up to the national championships. Did you win Munster first?
Yeah,
won Munster. What was that like?
Good.
Did you beat someone from Cork?
Yeah.
Good God.
Two from smiling. Cork.
Two from Cork, fair play. My God. It's like winning two national championships, fair play to your time. So you won your Munster, but then you go for the national. You go home, we'll say, and you tell your family you're after winning the Munster championships, and the national championships is around the corner. I mean, are they saying, go off, you go, Tommy, the best to look and the whole lot? They're obviously driving you over and back to Castle Island every night, yeah, and training. I mean, what's it like to represent them when you go on the ring?
Oh, it's good, like, and put up a show for everyone else as well.
Good stuff. You're a bit of a showman.
Yeah.
Another man who I know is quite a showman is James E. Casey. James E., welcome back.
Thanks very much, Donal.
You're getting older and bigger and taller and everything since I saw you last.
I'm getting a lot heavier too.
Yeah, you're getting a lot stronger, that's right. Come here, three times All-Ireland champion at this level.
Yeah, three national titles.
What's that like?
I mean, like, the third one, yeah, it's not the same as the first, but it's obviously a good privilege, you know, to get a national title. It just shows you're the best in Ireland for your age and weight.
Is it harder to keep a title than win one? I mean, you had two. I mean, you're going in, everybody knows who you are now. I mean, every time the draw comes out, they know you're the champion, they know you're the champion. Is there more pressure on you being the champion?
There's more pressure on me because these fellas that's coming in, you know, they're coming in and their coaches are saying, like, go for it, you know what I mean? You have nothing to lose. He's everything to lose. He has the reputation to lose and all this kind of stuff, so I suppose there is more pressure on me.
But of course you are getting older as well, I suppose, and I suppose the older you get, the more experience you get as well. And what age are you now?
I'm 14.
God, it feels like you were around forever. 14. Jennifer, when you see, and of course congratulations to Mary who can't be with us this evening, when you see the amount of champions coming through Sleeve Lucre now, I mean, I remember when you set the place up over in Castle Island, and, I mean, did you dream that this was going to be the dream, or did you know that somewhere at the end of the line you might get one champion, but you seem to be turning them out for fun?
Exactly. I suppose when you think back, it was like 2006 and when we started the club, and I suppose the aim was always to get, like, if you could, Munster champions, and then it would go on, and if you could, national champions, and we might get one, you know, and so on. But now it's like, you know, it's even pressure for us as well to keep it up, and, you know, and now we're turning out, like, there, if it's not two, it's three, it's four, you know. And the same, like, with James and Mary, they're both European champions as well, like, so, which is amazing for our small little club, you know, which is a massive achievement, you know. And even like within Kerry, within Munster, within Ireland, you know, I suppose we're kind of really well known now, you know.
John, does that make it more enjoyable to go to training, or is there more pressure on you now that you're turning out a champion, that God, if he went on a bit of a drought, things would be awful altogether? But it certainly must be great to go down every night and see meet the next new Tommy or Jamesy. Jamesy is 3 now, sure, he's not a bit bothered with showing off his guns there for free. but is there more pressure on you, or is it just far more enjoyable?
It is very enjoyable, to be fair. Look, there obviously is a bit of pressure with it, because you see the work the kids put into it, and you're trying to keep them on the right track the whole time, you know. So yes, it's really enjoyable, especially when they do get the results, when you see the work they put into it and they actually get the titles they aim for. Again, look, Jamesy is his third one. Like, there's a lot more in Jamesy, to be fair, an awful lot more, and the plan has to keep changing every time, you know. The training regime has to change, you know, that it has to progress as the boxer progresses. So again, this year we got Tommy on board, you know, and it's brilliant to get the boy one. It's a really good age to get it and to keep them focused. And again, it's about managing them and maintaining them and getting the programs right to build them up and keep going with them. So yeah, it's brilliant. It's very rewarding to get in there.
Jamesy, how good are your trainers?
Oh, they're very good. No, they're very good. Probably best in Kerry Munster, to be honest with you.
What makes them good? What makes them, you know, why are they in your corner? Why are they backing you? Why have they the belief in you?
I suppose they have the experience, don't they? They've been up in the National Stadium many times.
Mm-hmm.
They've been up there a lot more than I have. They're in this game in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're in a corner and you're getting advice from John or whoever's training you at that particular time, boxing, I presume, it's a sport where you need to take the advice straight away. I mean, you finish your round, maybe it's been a bad round, maybe it's far too easy for you, maybe you're on top, maybe you're making loads of mistakes, but still being ahead. How important is it to listen to the coach?
Oh, it's very important, because when you're inside the ring, you know, and you're punching and he's punching, they're seeing what, you know, you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing his mistakes as well as your mistakes too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better off you soak it all in to come back to the corner.
What's it like to get a punch?
It's not nice.
A real one.
You know, it's the game.
You have to avoid him, isn't it?
Try to avoid
he doesn't
him.
Get many.
I don't get many.
How about you, Tommy? When did your first big punch come?
When I was by one, like, the first ever fight I had was in November against Daniel Danderson versus in Southside.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first fight, and I stopped him.
You stopped him? Yeah. What is it like when you go into a ring? I mean, obviously, people are at home tonight and saying, oh my God, he's so young, we'd be terrified and the whole lot. What's it like? I mean, you obviously are trained for it before you get into the ring, and obviously you take on all the advice and you know what's happening, and you've trained and you understand, obviously, what's happening. But when you actually go into the ring and you touch the gloves and ding, off you go, what's that feeling like?
Oh, it's good. Like, it's the start of a round, and you need to always be first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is that important, Jamesy? Be first in the round?
Not always, you know.
All right, okay.
Depends what type of boxer you are. You know, first round, you know, you suss them out, you know.
Yeah.
It's not always about getting in there, rushing in straight away, trying to hit your man.
Would you know all your opponents now at this level, at this age group, or would fellas kind of pop out of the blue and you get a quarter final against some guy and you say, my God, I haven't seen him before?
No, I'd have a fairly good idea who's in my weight before the draw is even done.
Yeah.
I'm expecting him and I'm training for him.
Yeah. How important is that, John, to know what's in the group? Obviously, we talk football here every night, and when the football draw is made, people know what group they are. They know what team they're playing. They're obviously getting a bit of advice from the neighbours on who this guy is. It's similar, I presume, in this, is it?
It is, definitely, yeah. You have to do your research. You have to know what you're facing. You could be facing an aggressive boxer. You could be facing a back foot boxer. Do you know, there's all different styles out there. And you just have to prepare your boxer the best way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know what's going on around you to best prepare them for the situation ahead.
And that style of a boxer, does that come from the club over the time that you train him and you know that this guy is more of a backstep boxer, he's more aggressive? So do you kind of fix your own boxers at the start and say, well, Jamesy, I don't know what you are, but you have to be an aggressive boxer and you're more of a laid back fella and you pick off the punches? Do you set that yourselves?
Well, we kind of we have a kind of a boxing style that we like to stick to, our own sleeve lucra.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to work with the individual boxer that you have.
Okay.
Some guys are strong enough to box in a certain particular way, and you will develop that way. But we do like to try keep many tools in the bag. I call them little tools. That if you meet a guy that is aggressive, well, then you go on the back foot, and you need to be able to do that.
Okay.
So we try bring in a number of different aspects to it, but again, if an individual has something particular, if someone is good on the back foot, well, then we'll work with that and give them a little bit of aggression, and vice versa. If someone's aggressive, well, then if they meet someone who's aggressive, they have to be able to work on the back foot. So it's kind of, we do have a particular style. I won't tell you on the radio, but we try to keep that under wraps, and we work around that to suit the best, the individual best.
Yeah, Dave Nelligan would be delighted. There's an actual boxing style in Castlelaine. Jennifer, you have European champions, obviously. We're talking national, but sure, you've gone further again. What's it like to be part of that European circuit as well? You know, obviously, when you win at European level, you're representing Ireland, but the next step back is your club, and people will obviously look at the map and they'll say, not Dublin, not Cork, not Belfast, somewhere down here. How proud is that?
I suppose, like, credit is to Jamesy and Mary. They've definitely put us on the map, you know, when it comes to it. But it is, like, unfortunately for this year, there probably won't be Europeans on the cards for the two or for whoever. But there will be a lot of internationals, all right, coming up. But hopefully that, I suppose, the European chance for them will come back again, you know, and that's kind of just looked down to the way things are going in the IABA and so on. But
it's kind of uncertain the way the sport is going at the moment, and that's kind of maybe, I suppose, a bit harsh on the younger gang coming through and the whole lot. Will that clear itself up in time?
I think it will, you know. I suppose this year has been a strange year, yeah, definitely, within boxing. And I suppose it's kind of, I suppose new people went in and they're trying to find their footing and so on, and all we can do, I suppose, is support and what is going on and be ready. Like, that's what we've told all our boxers, you know, in the drop of the hat. They could say, okay, the Europeans are back on again, and we just need to be ready for that. And to be fair to, you know, whoever we have, they always are. Like, there is cadet championships coming up, and Jamesy will tell you a little bit about that as well, because he's entered into it. Tommy's too young for it yet, so he'll be next year, and Mary, and we have a couple of more coming up. Like, so they do have a chance to be on the national team, which is a good thing, and they will have a chance to box in a number of different internationals. So all is not lost, I suppose.
And of course, you have a huge huge gang of them. There's Connie O'Connor there as well, Martin Mungans, Patrick McCarty, Jim Mungans,
yes,
Thomas Mungans, Michelle McDonough, of course, better last year, Caelus O'Connell, Jamesy, of course, here, John Murray, Amir McDonough, Siobhan Reardon. John, you'd have to build a bigger garage, will you?
Definitely have to build on, all right, to be fair. It's like a big family that doesn't stop growing. But yeah, look, we've great numbers. It's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? And they all support each other, and we all work really well together. So I'll get to dig out there. Yeah, we're looking for an extension. But yeah, look, it is great. Do you know what I mean? Look, and we 30 boxers into the counties this year. Do you know,
how many rings
numbers
have you in your centre?
We've only one ring. But it's
how do you manage all this gang in one ring?
We run two separate classes. Do you know what I mean? We've broke up, and
would a second ring be a help?
A second ring would definitely be a help. Yeah, yeah. We did purchase a ring that we can actually put up for really busy times, and when we bring down clubs and stuff, that we can get big spars going. So we have that sitting there, and we just erect it and take it down as we need it. So yeah, definitely more space would be nice.
This time next year, Jamesy, number four.
Number four,
very shortly.
2 months, actually. Number four.
My God, I wish. There's no waiting around.
Next year, six.
Six. All right.
I love
fair
it.
Pleasure. I love the confidence. And you have to have confidence. And yourself. We get a second one, will we?
Yeah, second one.
Yeah, one from the Cork side, one from the Kerry side.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Jennifer, finally, we down to the last 30 seconds. If there's somebody out in Castle Island or Carsevine or Valencia, and they say, God, we could go down this route.
Yeah.
Can we just rock in the gate and meet you?
Definitely. I suppose we do have openings. As John said there, we kind of split the classes. So we have a development class, which is a beginner's boxing class, and that works very well. So then it's a stepping stone up to our competition class then. So we would be delighted for new members to come on board. And I just want to say as well is that we do have a number of new volunteers that are after coming on, and so we're expanding our coaching team as well, which is fantastic. We'd be lost without them. So
John's given the secret handbook with the styles that he's not going to tell anybody.
Yes.
James, final question, be very careful now, you could get a good punch here, because there's a good boxer outside there. Do you like Irish music?
Yeah, I do. I love it.
Fair play to you, James. You avoided that punch anyway. Good stuff. Coming up after that, of course, is Mary Conroy in tow. So you'll get out of here. You'll get out of here easy now. There's absolutely no panic. Great show this evening. We talked football. We were hurling. We were doing it with the pool. We had soccer with boys and with girls and with former winners and with boxers. My God, it was a huge, huge show. Thanks to Ivan and Keane on sound. And we'll do it all again next week. Next week we'll have horse racing. My God, I might know how we're going to get a couple of horses in here, but anyway, we'll try and do that as well. We'll do it all again next week. Thanks very much.